The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you.
On the evening of that first day of the week, when the doors were locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained." Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples said to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger into the nail marks, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." Now a week later, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them. Jesus came, although the doors were locked, and stood in their midst and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and bring your hand and put it into my side, and do not be unbelieving, but believe." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you come to believe because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book, but these are written that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that through this belief you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord. It's written into the Code of Canon Law, the church's law, that every year a priest must go on retreat. And this is for the sake of the priest himself, but also for the sake of his parishioners, that he has that spiritual life renewed within him so that he can feed the flock. And so about a month ago, I went on my retreat to the Abbey of Gethsemane. It's about an hour south of Louisville, Kentucky. And for 6 days, I was in silence and in prayer. And on my way back from the Abbey of Gethsemane, I passed through Louisville. And as some of you know, I was a history undergrad. And if there's one thing that a history major loves, it is a good Ken Burns documentary. And one of Ken Burns' most recent documentaries is on Muhammad Ali. And so I stopped at the Muhammad Ali Center there in Louisville, Kentucky. And it was an amazing experience in so many ways. One of the highlights was it was the first museum I have ever been in that has a room dedicated to prayer, that you will actually stop your museum experience to pray to whatever God you believe in, which is kind of a testimony. If they built a museum dedicated to you or to me, would prayer be so much at the center of our life that it's literally built into the museum? But I'm not here primarily to talk about Muhammad Ali today. It's after I crossed over the Ohio when I was back home in Indiana, I met some friends in southern Indiana to share a meal. And we went to a Cracker Barrel because I happened to have a gift card, so I was going to treat them. Big spender. So we go to Cracker Barrel. And we're getting our meal, we're talking to the waitress, and one of my friends, she recently got a tattoo on her hand, and our waitress is probably late 40s, early 50s, and she has a few tattoos. One is on her hand. And so my friend just asks her, "In your experience, about how long did you have your tattoo before you had any fading?" Because it was her first hand tattoo, and she was curious. And so we kind of strike up a conversation with our waitress. And then at some point, she comes back and she asks, "So where are y'all from anyway?" And they share that they're from around Jasper, and I share that I'm from the Indianapolis area. And so at that point, she asks me, "About how far is it driving to Indianapolis?" And she asks because her daughter is losing her eyesight, and the doctors in southern Indiana can't figure out what to do about it. So she's going to have to come up to Indianapolis to see a specialist, and a mother's heart is moved with concern towards her daughter. And so I tell her. But as soon as she said what was occurring in her daughter's life, my friends, without a moment's hesitation, said, "We will pray for you, and we will pray for her." And that changed the whole conversation, because immediately after that, she told us, "Myself and my daughter, we lost two people prematurely. They were both in their 30s, and it was a great trial for us. And my daughter left the practice of her faith because she couldn't understand how God could let it happen. But as she's carrying this cross of losing her vision, she's recently told me that she wants to come back to church with me because she needs God and she needs faith." And so the fact that we had said we would pray for her daughter, not knowing the full story, opened up this woman's heart to share that experience. All because my friends had said, "We will pray for you and pray for her." Some of you have heard my homily and my story before. The day I was ordained a deacon, I was in my cassock, my black robe and collar, and I went to a gas station to get a Muscle Milk protein drink for breakfast. And the cashier, empty gas station, she looks at me and she gives me the head nod and says, "So are you a priest?" And there's that awkward moment of silence, and I'm trying to figure out what kind of conversation we're about to have. And then I tell her, "I'm about to be ordained a deacon this morning. I was on my way to church to pray. I'm studying to be a priest." She paused awkwardly, but then she launched in with everything going on in her life, everything she was carrying. And there in the middle of that gas station, I gave her a scripture to pray with, and we prayed together. But brothers and sisters, the encounter at Cracker Barrel was not that encounter. Because when a priest is wearing his collar, whether it's the robe or the clerics, he's kind of an easy target for a religious conversation. You see it coming. That was not the situation in Cracker Barrel. The thing you have to keep in mind, to drive from the Abbey of Gethsemane back home to Indiana, I was going to be in my car for hours. And I'm stopping at the Muhammad Ali Center. I'm going to hit the speed bag. They've got a giant boxing bag that you can hold and feel Muhammad Ali's fist go through it as you hold it. And, you know, I even got a chance to shadow box with him projected onto the wall. So, brothers and sisters, I'm not wearing my collar. I'm wearing a hoodie and jeans. And you're trying to picture that now. I'm wearing a hoodie and jeans. And so when we encounter this waitress and my friends who are not priests, just two Catholics in their early 30s, parents of a couple of children, when they say without hesitating, "We will pray for you and for your daughter," it's not that they see it coming because I'm in a collar and I'm not the one who initiates that part, because my friends without hesitating had already gone there. So brothers and sisters, that's instructive for all of us. Because our first reading today, the gospel, after the resurrection, what does Jesus say? "As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And what do we get in the Acts of the Apostles? Today, if you haven't been to any of our daily masses this week, you kind of parachute in the middle. But what we've been reading for the last 4 days in our daily mass, it leads up to this. It's the fact that after the resurrection, Peter, our first pope, and John, they go to the temple, and there is a crippled man there who is begging. And Peter, as they're walking through, Peter stops and he says, "Look at us. I have neither gold nor silver to give you, but what I do have to give you, I give you freely. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, get up and walk." And he gets up and walks. And they bear testimony. And that gets us to the point today where people are hearing about the miracles, the healings being done in the name of Jesus by his disciples, that they bring so many people to him, they hope that Peter's shadow just lands upon them to heal them. And as we are here, a day after Pope Francis was buried, when we are still in these 9 days of mourning for him, it calls to mind the example of Pope Francis and one of the things he will most be known for, which is, what does it look like to engage another as a brother, as a sister, from wherever they're coming from, leading with love, the love of God, and charity, and patience, and mercy. But Pope Francis would tell you it was never about him. His life, his ministry was never about him. He wasn't modeling for us, what does it look like when you meet Pope Francis? He wasn't modeling for us, what does it look like when you meet a pope? He was modeling for us and for the world. What does it look like when you meet a disciple of Jesus Christ? That Peter, Pope Francis, did what the first Peter did, an imitation of Jesus himself. Look at us. Be seen. Be heard. You matter. And today God will come to you and you will be healed. It's encounter. Brothers and sisters, what happened in that Cracker Barrel, same thing all of us are called to do. It's simply to open a door so that someone can walk through if they want to. But so many times, we as people of faith, we hold back because we're afraid. We're afraid we'll be rejected. We're afraid we'll be embarrassed. We're afraid we'll stand out. So we don't open a lot of doors for people because we're afraid. But so many people are just dying for someone to open a door for them because no one else is opening a door for them and they are carrying things alone. We will pray for you and for your daughter. It's not flashy. It's not big. It's bold in love. But all it does is open a door. We're being ourselves. We'll pray for you. That door is open. And if she wants to walk in it or not, that is her choice. If she wants to just take a few steps in and then stop, that is her choice. All that we are called to do as disciples of Jesus Christ is in love. Open that door. And if they want to go through it, we will go through it as far as they want with them, so they will not be alone. That's the message of Pope Francis. Because brothers and sisters, I would gamble that almost all of us here never met Pope Francis. And we didn't need to live a life convicted of the gospel by his example. For most of us here, our first experience of coming to faith might not have been running into a priest randomly and having a life-changing experience. And most people don't actually need that. But what most people need is for you to open a door for them. Because God puts a lot of people in your life that he does not put in my life. And he gives them you for a reason. But we get afraid because we buy into a lie that we're not enough, that we don't have something worth giving. So what do? I'm going to punt this person. I'm going to pass this person to someone else who knows how to pray. I'm going to punt or pass this person to someone else who knows about what we believe as Catholics. I'm going to pass this person to someone who has more emotional or spiritual life to give than I do. We buy into a lie that we're not enough, that God hasn't done something in our life or given us something to give to another. Brothers and sisters, it doesn't have to be huge. It doesn't have to be flashy. It does have to be true to who you are and who the other person is, which is someone that God wants to love through you. And it's as simple as that. All we have to do, open the door and invite them to go through if they want. And if they don't, that's okay too, because we will still pray for them. Brothers and sisters, you will be surprised. You will be shocked and amazed at how many people will walk through that door and will actually go a lot further than you would expect them to go, whether it's in the middle of a gas station, whether it's at a Cracker Barrel, whether it's at your dining room table, wherever it is. A lot of people are dying to walk through a door. It just seems like no one is opening one for them. Let us change that this Easter.